Marvel.
Comic Conversations.
It's awesome.
With your host,
the wickedly talented
Tony.
I am the cold-blooded sausage maker.
Alex.
Oh, hello, my boy. How are you, Tom? Oh, I'm not hooked up to the internet, Tom, and I don't have any contact with wrestling. A week later, I see him with Dick Byers up in Buffalo, and he's wearing the mask gimmick on.
And Dave.
They will, if you want some. Come get some! That's the wall up there, brother!
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is Tony, and you're listening to episode 140 of Comic Conversation, where we talk all things comics for the week of April 20th, 2016. And as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Alex. Alex, how are you doing tonight?
He's wearing the mask gimmick.
I knew you would love that.
Tom Zink is fucking awesome.
Yeah, in case if you haven't noticed it, Alex is the only one here today. We had a bit of a, snafu with getting the show today.
No, he didn't. Fucking Dave went to Ring Honor show.
No, well, there's a reason for that, because you were going to do your show on your phone, which that's another thing. And actually, for the most part, you had to fiddle around with it, but for the most part, you sounded just fine. But because of that, I was like, well, I'm like, maybe you can just take the week off, Alex, because really, we played with the phone thing before in the past with Dave, and it usually isn't the best sounding, so I was like, well, let's just have Alex take the week off, and then me and Dave will do the show. But the thing is, me and Dave, usually our schedules are wide open, so we were just like, well, let's just postpone it. And because of that, Dave decided to not read the week's books and go to Ring of Honor.
Oh, well, he's also got an iPhone, so that's going to cause problems because piece of shit.
Yeah, you sound significantly better. I thought, you know, we were going to have the same kind of complication thing where it sounded bad, or maybe it would sound good when we're doing the show, but when we actually do the recording playback, it actually doesn't sound that great. But for the most part, you sound pretty good.
Yeah, I've talked to you guys from the new place, and I sound fine. The issue is my mom's internet isn't as good as my internet, so I think that's what the primary
In fact, you know what I noticed right now listening to you? Maybe it's just because it's just the connection with just me and you, but you sound better with the phone than you did with your headset setup.
Well, we can try it maybe next week when Marvel's back to see if it still sounds better, because unlimited data.
Nice.
And then I can do this from fucking Lauren's parents' house, maybe.
Okay.
And I won't have to drive all the way over here.
So that's just to explain people to why, you know, we're doing the show without Dave. I told Dave that depending on the way you sound, I may do two shows. I may do a show with you because you're like, you know what? I made this huge effort to read this week's books. I went out of my way so I can, you know, get this Wi-Fi. We're going to do a show no matter what. So I was like, well.
Yeah,
So I was like, well, depending how I am with the audio quality, maybe I'll do a show a day. But this sounds actually pretty good, so we'll see. Maybe we'll just do the one show. But that just explained to everybody what's going on, why there's no Dave on this week's show. He will, in fact, be returning next week. Okay. I think with that out of the way, let's go into our first segment, news. Now, before we go into this week's news, there's something I want to plug very quickly. If you're listening to us on iTunes, regardless of what you guys want to give us, I prefer a 5-star review, but by all means, give us a review if you're listening to us on iTunes, or if you're listening on Half Guarded and you didn't know we have an iTunes account, this is your notification that we are also on iTunes. So if you like listening to it on your iPhone and just, you know, for whatever reason why you haven't heard that we have this iTunes provider service, by all means, check it out and leave us a review. Okay, let's go into this week's news, which includes our first news story. Now, when I brought you the names that were bashing DC Rebirth, now, of course, this story is the Image writers, the Rob Liefeld, and who was the other? Let's see if I can pull up very quickly.
Eric Larson.
Yeah, they're ripping a lot of the concepts or aspects of the DC Rebirth. Now, let's see if I can pull up one of them. This one from Eric Larson's, I think, is the most damning, because this is sort of following up what we did last week with the story that DC Rebirth is going to have these 2-year story arcs. He quote, and I quote, "Seriously, a 2-year long storyline which goes across their entire line may spell their demise. That's stupid, and then there's DC stupid." Which I did like. That was pretty funny. But you said there was something to the credentials of these writers?
Eric Larson has not been relevant for a decade. Like, the last time Eric Larson was in comics news was when he took Savage Dragon, completely changed his art style, started doing this Jack Kirby ripoff thing, mm-hmm. and made the comic extra wacky. And Rob Liefeld is Rob Liefeld. Like, who was one of the people who fucking worked at DC at the last relaunch and was complete shit, as he often is.
Mm-hmm.
And his books, you know, they all got shit canned for not selling and being bad. So it's kind of funny that these are the two guys who say something.
Well, I mean, at the same time, they're not complete, you know, say what you will about a broken clock, but every now and then it's right. And in several instances, I think Rob Liefeld said 2-year story arcs, one head writer, barf. Sorry, not a fan of such heavy management style at any publisher.
Okay.
I mean, these are legitimate points. It's, you know, I don't like this idea of, you know, being so heavy handed with the writers. I'm like, just let them tell the stories that they want to tell.
If they would have had a fucking heavy hand when they did the original relaunch, maybe they wouldn't have had so many fucking continuity errors. Rob, you fucker.
But here's my thing, and I was sort of talking to my buddy Mike about this, who's in a couple of weeks he's gonna be on the show. When I read a book, when there's continuity errors, does it bother me a little bit? Yeah, but at the end of the day, I don't care about continuity when there's a really good story that they're telling.
Okay, but listen, here's the thing. When you're relaunching your entire universe like they did in the New 52, and after 3 months you're already having continuity problems where, you know, things happen that aren't referenced or things happen that change characters and they don't talk about it, or, you know, shit like, or characters are dead in one book and they're not in another, and that's 3 months in, that's pretty much inexcusable. You should be able to manage that 3 months in. That's why they're making fun of it. They weren't able to do that. Liefeld probably saw that firsthand. But, I mean, the issue there was lack of editorial, not too much editorial.
I guess, but at the end of the day, I just want good stories. And if there's a couple continuity errors or things don't quite sync up, that's what we see from Marvel all the time. You know,
there are little continuity errors, that's fine. But, you know, shit like character being completely different or character being dead and then he's not dead. Shit like that, that's not really excusable because that's confusing. Doesn't make any sense.
Okay, but when they're telling me, you know, that they're going to turn over a new leaf with this new DC rebirth, this doesn't inspire confidence.
Maybe they are. I'm giving them a shot.
Like I said, the big sticking point to me is that 2-year deal. It's just, I don't get it. Just let people tell what stories they want to tell.
But they still, the thing is, I think people are making too much of that.
And here's the thing. We only started reading DC because they started doing that stuff. For the longest time on this show, we never read DC. And then I think I was after Convergence. They just decided we're going to play fast and loose with the continuity. So that was a perfect opportunity for us to pick up books like Justice League of America, where, you know, whatever Snyder's doing with Batman and him being Gordon, the Bat Bunny costume, whatever. They're doing that in their own title. In the Hitch book, he could do whatever he wants with Batman, just have him be normal.
Yeah, but I think the thing is people are misreading what they're saying. Like, they might have a universe-wide, like, line-wide 2-year storyline. Like, you know, this is off the top of my head. Lex Luthor is president. They did that before. That's a thing that exists through all of the books, and it eventually comes to be resolved. But it doesn't necessarily impact whatever the current storyline in the book is going on. It's just, it could just be something consistent that exists in the universe that all the characters are playing in, and they all have to abide by that. But it's not necessarily, you know, every single book is going to have its own individual 2-year storyline, or every single book is going to follow a 2-year storyline they gave out. They're not saying that. They're just saying there's going to be a 2-year storyline. Maybe it'll build to a big crossover or something.
Well, I have to imagine that's the end game here. It's eventually going to lead to another big crossover 2 years down the road where they do something. But let's put it this way. DC has a lot of problems. There's a reason why we don't read a ton of DC books. And on that long laundry list of reasons, nowhere near the top, in fact, probably on the bottom, is the continuity.
Well, no, that's actually near the top for me, because the reason I don't read the DC books is because it's a different continuity from the DC I liked.
Well, I'm saying, in other words, you're not reading it because, oh, well, this is continuity error from this other New 52 book, so I'm not going to read it.
Not an error, but it's not a continuity I like overall.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you have plenty of company, as well as myself included. But it looks like they're slowly remedying that. I think I've seen some solicitations where they're teasing killing off the New 52 Superman. So.
Well, or he's just going to be gone. I think he got depowered or something. I don't know. You'll have to talk to your DC friend about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Figure out, because I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I'm just speculating from what I've seen from solicitations. So there's really nothing to go by. All right, let's move on to our next story. Something we saw from popcultureoncover.com, a story about, now let me read the headline. Comics, you got your diversity, so why don't you buy them? Now, of course, this story is referring to, and it actually compiles a list of all these books from Marvel and DC with some kind of minority, either a female or some of color, and then the fact of the matter, they have all the numbers for the sales, and they're just not there. I think number one on this list is Black Widow number one, the one by Wade, and the highest it got up was 15th with 62,000 units sold. So it's one of those things to where, you know, there are these people, and you know, more often than not, it's usually the loud minority will complain about there's no minority in comic books. But the reason why it's not there, and this is a perfect example why, it's just the numbers aren't there to back it up for sales.
I don't know if that's it's less that, and it's more look at what sells in comics. Spider-Man sells, Batman sells, the X-Men sell. The things that sell are the things that have always sold, that have always been pushed. And yeah, it does seem ridiculous that it's like, oh, well, this book has a black character, suddenly it's going to sell well. No, that's not the way it works. It's not going to happen. But the issue isn't the characters or the character's race or the character's sexual orientation. The issue is comic fans, as much as they want to go online and bitch about how they want something new or they want more diversity, they're still going to keep buying the same fucking books they've always bought, and they're not going to try anything new. That's the problem.
Well, I'm saying in several instances we're looking at, you mentioned all those big names, the wheelhouse names. Spider-Man, I mean, obviously this is number 2, 3, and 4. Spider-Man, Captain America, Sam Wilson, Mighty Thor. These are all instances of they're the title character, you know, the Thors and the Spider-Mans. But you think maybe because they're not the original characters or because they're in an instance like Sam Wilson where it's not treated super seriously?
I don't know if Captain America, if you had Steve Rogers in that same book with that same creative team, I don't think it would sell better. I think that book is selling what that book would sell at no matter what. Like if you bring Steve Rogers back and you stick him in the book, then maybe it gets like a brief jump. But overall, Captain America is not going to be one of the top selling books anyway.
But when you have Spider-Man and he's still not doing super well, he's ranked his highest selling issue so far has been the issue number 2, 60,000 units, and that was ranked 16th in that month.
He's a secondary character. He's not Spider-Man. He's the other Spider-Man. And as much as they're trying in that book to separate them, and they've done a good job of that. I think it's a good book. He's still not the lead Spider-Man. That's Peter Parker.
Well, let's put it this way. So, if they did a storyline where they killed off Peter Parker and they gave Miles Morales the Amazing Spider-Man title,
and they had Dan Slott write it, it would probably sell exactly the same.
I think there'd be a hit. I think there'd be a serious hit. Just like we saw that in Superior. They gave it to Otto. They made him the Spider-Man. Slott was still writing it, and the numbers weren't quite the Peter's numbers. At least not the ones that they are now.
Well, but again, that's just the characters, the draw. It's you're going back to the original problem of why they thought they needed to inject diversity into comics. Most of the characters you sell, most of the characters have been around, were created by white guys 50, 60 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way it was at the time. There were white people writing books. I don't know if they assumed they were for white people or if they just didn't want to try it, but they were all white people. The whole gay community thing, it wasn't as much of an issue back then, so there was no reason to go for it. So, I mean, and in some cases, like, you know, Angela's a lesbian. That book wasn't going to sell well if she was a straight female. It didn't matter. It was the book itself that wasn't selling. The character's sexual orientation has nothing to do with the way it's selling.
To me, at the end of the day, it doesn't even come to that. It comes down to whether or not it's well written.
The article you're referencing was basically a long form calling out of people and calling them on their bullshit. Like, oh, you say you want diversity and then you don't buy the books. Well, here's the issue with that. The people who are doing that are 99.9% people online.
That's why I said they're a vocal minority.
Yeah, you could have 100 fucking people saying that. It seems like a shit ton if they're doing it spread across the entire internet on every comic book forum. But it's still only 100 people. And 100 people buying your book isn't going to mean anything. I don't think most people care. I'm still under the impression there are a group of people who follow writers. There are a group of people who follow characters. There are a group of people who follow artists. That's what you got. The number of people who buy a book simply because of the race or sexual orientation of a character, I think, is really small. This backs that up. Previous experiences with this backs that up. It's not something people want to buy. And I also think it's slightly insulting to anyone who fits into these minority groups to tell them, well, you know, like take a black guy who reads comics and you're like, well, you're going to buy Black Panther because you're black and he's black.
I think like, for me, who's someone who's a member of color, I see with that new Ghost Rider with Robbie Reyes, I'm like, okay, that's fine. You make him an Hispanic character. That doesn't mean I'm going to like it right off the bat. In fact, more often than not, you guys had to like drag me kicking and screaming to read that book. Cause I'm like, I don't care. I don't like the art. I don't much care for the story.
Yeah, I only like the book because of him and his brother. But no, I mean, again, that was another one that didn't sell particularly well. You're not picking up a huge number. Shit, we talk about wrestling all the time. Look at wrestling. They brought Alberto Del Rio back. Did the fucking Hispanic audience jump up a shit ton when they brought him back? No. Nobody gave a shit. And you make the argument that's because of the push, but still, it didn't happen. It's not going to happen. It's a very simplistic and very insulting way of looking at things that companies do, wherein to get minority readers, we have to have more minority characters. If it's a bad book, it's a bad book. It doesn't matter what color they are.
Exactly.
Or who they fuck.
And it doesn't matter what kind of character they are. If it's well written, it doesn't matter what color or what sexual orientation they have. Folks are going to like it. Folks are going to read it.
And Angela wasn't well written, by the way.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. In fact, the only one of these books that I can actually think of that maybe sort of champion is maybe the new Miss Marvel title. But even that, I'm looking at the sales, I'm like, it's doing well considering the strength of the title, Miss Marvel.
It's good for what it is. It's good for being a book about a new teenage superhero who is also a young girl. Like, in that way, it's doing good, but it's not a top 10 book. And also, she's been given a lot of fucking help by Marvel. I mean, she's the last issue of that Avengers standoff thing. She's fucking front and center on that cover. Like, they had a lot of characters they could show on that, and they put Miss Marvel right on the cover. Like, they're going with her. They know they have something, and I think they do. But again, it's not because she's, you know, a Muslim character. That's not why it's selling.
I think there is a fraction, but it's a very small fraction that actually care about that kind of thing. The draw of that character is just so well written. Above all else, that's the reason why people read the book. But with that said, as good as it is, it's not a top 10 book.
Right. And I think also you don't want a book that only sells to that group. Mm-hmm. Because if you think about it, comics are already a niche audience. You've only got so many people who are going to buy books. Mm-hmm. And then if you break it down, you've only got so many people who are of that sexual orientation or of that race that are going to read it. So if you're putting out a book and you're targeting only those people, how many people are going to read your fucking book?
Yeah, that's why I'm not going to go fully into it, but I sort of pitched you a story and you sort of dismiss it because it's really, at the end of the day, who cares? But I'm just going to bring it up for the sake of this argument. There was the reveal of the new Chinese Superman. It's like, okay, that's fine. I don't know who people of Chinese descent or people from China are actually going to read that. I don't think anyone cares. When people want to read a Superman story, they don't care what his ethnicity is. They'll be like, well, it's not the real Superman, so I don't care. I don't care if he looks like me and I can relate to him better. I want to read the real deal. I'm just saying that's just an instance where, you know, you hate to talk about it. You hate to, you know, this ugliness of race and whether or not if it sells, what does that say about readers? But I'm just like, whatever. I want to read good stories and I don't care who it's done by and their orientation or their race.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about a white male superhero and I presume heterosexual. The return of Captain Marvel. Now we
don't.
Go ahead.
We don't know which Captain Marvel it is, really.
Yeah, we saw a solicitation, and the quote in the front of the cover, it says, "I knew this was my chance to be a hero," and underneath it, they show the Captain Marvel logo, and it's, I guess, part of the standoff event, because that's what they have underneath the graphic. So I assume maybe at the end of this standoff crossover, we're going to get a returning Captain Marvel, but we're not sure which one. Now, I actually read some of the articles, and it speculates that it could be his son, who was a member of the Thunderbolts, who went by the name Photon.
Yeah, there have been a few Captain Marvels since Marvel kicked it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't sense that this is a character who people have been dying to read about again.
No, but like, we know that there's that Thunderbolts book that's coming out, and I don't know if off the top of my head I can't remember the cover, but he very well could be on the team, and this could be Photon. So, but this could be their way of trying to get drum up some interest in the end of this crossover. They're going to bring back a character who was long since not dead, while he went away for a little bit.
Whatever.
Yeah, I know. Well, they're grasping for straws here.
They're trying to do something. That's fine.
Yeah, and we got a trailer with a little bit more details on what Civil War II is going to be about. Now, we had speculated before that maybe it was going to be concerning the cosmic cube that from Standoff. Maybe that'll be the thing that they're fighting over, because initially we kind of knew there was going to be something concerning the future. The superheroes were torn which side they were going to take, one side or the other, changing the future or keeping it the same. But now we have details. It was going to be an Inhuman that can see the future. And the superheroes are torn whether or not they want to change the future or not.
Yeah, which is what they said like 3 months ago. But when they said this Pleasant Hill story was going to lead into it, we were just trying to figure out, well, it's got to be Cubic then, because they said it would be a young girl.
Mm-hmm.
And Cubic is sort of a young girl. And we were just trying to find a way to tie it in. Well, it's not going to tie in. It's a completely different character, and it's an Inhuman. But they haven't changed from what their original goal was.
Yeah. Well, I figure that the tale should have been that it's going to be a completely different writer, and Bendis maybe wants to go tell a story in a different direction.
And it will probably have ramifications on some books, because Captain Marvel is in the – well, I mean, again, like the first Civil War, you've got the she's basically going to be doing – it sounds like Minority Report is what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Like they're arresting people based on someone telling the future. But in that would mean Captain Marvel is the bad guy, and she's on the Ultimates. She's got her own book. She's on A-Force. So it will at least have direct ramifications to comics that we read.
Yeah, and it's going to be their big giant crossover that just so happens to coincide with the release of the major motion picture, Captain America, Civil War, so I have to imagine that's part of the reason why they're going with this story at this certain time. What's that?
I think they might have done this story anyway, but when they realized, oh, wait, Civil War is coming out, they're like, oh, let's call it Civil War too.
I think you're being naive here. I think it's one of these instances of they saw the movie was coming out and they felt this opportunity to tell this story. Because really, it's kind of... it feels so forced, and that's part of the reason why I'm not super excited for Civil War 2, because it just feels so forced. Really. An instance where you're doing this story just because you're doing it in the movie, and you want some kind of synergy between the movies and the comic books.
Yeah,
and it's like
it's a comic company, and they're always going to do a summer crossover. Like if they weren't going to do this, they were going to do something else that was going to be big, and you have to make it sound bigger than it is, because that's what you do. I mean, they were going to do this either way. It's just. Yeah, maybe the story was changed, but I think it could have just been the title was changed. Like, it probably wasn't originally called Civil War II, which, by the way, is a shit title. Civil War II.
Well, it's one of those things to where, you and me and other people maybe don't have the best memories of that. But I think for the most part, it was a big deal. And I think more people than us probably liked it. So, and it did really well, commercially, so I imagine that this is why they're doing the sequel.
You have bad taste, by the way, if you like that comic. I don't like you.
I don't agree with Alex.
On a personal level, of course. The show.
I agree with Alex.
I don't like you, but Tony's okay with you.
Yeah, I'm cool with you liking Civil War. I mean, I don't agree with you, but unlike Alex, I don't hate you.
You know, I like when people like comics.
You sound like a drunk robot right now.
I do.
Yeah, I'm just right. So the listeners don't think they're going crazy.
I'm hungry. I'm fucking trying to get some food.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, eat it up. Right. I don't know why it would matter, though. I'm on my fucking data. It's not like walking away from the computer should affect it.
That's true. All right. I think from there, we're going to wrap up this week's news, and let's move on to our next segment, the lightning round. Danger, danger. High voltage. Oh, when we touch, when we get. When we touch, when we get. For this week's lightning round, we have Hook, Bloodshot Reborn, and Divinity 2. Alex, let's start with Huck.
This series lost my interest on issue 3, and I believe this was the end of it, right?
Correct.
Because it had the happy ending.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it had a happy ending. The mom used her mind control pot. What happened was they blew up the base where they were going to make, the Russians were going to make super people. And they blew it all up, and they blew up all the backups, and then the evil scientist guy said, well, you know, all the information's in my head, so as long as I'm here, fucking, we're just going to do it again. And
I so thought she was going to kill him.
Yeah, she used her powers to make him forget everything he knew about science, so he ended up... Yeah, that was actually kind of funny. He ended up pumping gas at a Russian gas station, which was funny because he called Huck a retard for being a gas station attendant earlier in the issue. And, you know, Huck went back to doing good deeds, and he did not change at all through the course of this story. And that's fine. He's a simple character. It was an enjoyable read, but it was nothing to, you know, you're not going to remember this in a year.
It didn't do the Huck thing where, you know, I mean, the Mark Miller thing where he suddenly becomes a horrible person.
No, that never happened. There was a horrible person in this, but he was the villain. And even Huck, the lady who outed him. I don't remember what he did, but he forgave her. It was on his list of good deeds to perform. He went and told her basically no hard feelings
for outing him to the public that he has superpowers.
He gave flowers to the girl he liked, and you know, it was a happy, nice little ending that wrapped everything up. So no complaints really, just not, you know, not very, it didn't make you think or anything, but it was good.
Yeah, it was a good feel good book if I do say so.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to, since we're talking Russian science, let's talk Divinity 2. Now, you didn't read it, but I'll very quickly do the review. It was exactly like the very first Divinity. The only difference is she was a female. She was picked off the streets as a homeless girl, and when she came back from having her superpowers, when she came back to Earth, or specifically Russia, she still was loyal to the Russian nation, and at the end she talked to Putin. That's the entire book.
I wasn't a big fan of Divinity, so.
Yeah, I think what they're setting up in this book, it's going to be Divinity 2 versus Divinity 1, which...
That's not interesting at all.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give it a try, but yeah, you're right there, and it's sort of just, you know... I like the first story the first time around, but you said it's very much... You know, I'm still new to comic books, so it's, you know, it felt like a story that had been told before and better. But for me, I never experienced...
When they brought Divinity back and it was him and Harada interacting, I thought that was good. I mean, that was all in Imperium, if I remember correctly.
Yes, that was in the Imperium book.
Yeah, that was good, but Divinity against another god character who has powers but is Russian, like, I don't care. And Valiant doesn't care that much because their next crossover is that fucking 4001 thing, so it's not even going to be a big deal there.
No, but we'll see. I'm curious to see what Dave thought, and then when we get around to issue 2, we'll that'll be the real verdict whether or not we're going to continue doing this. Not like I said, I didn't think it was terrible, but at the same time, them just retelling the same story, while still a good story, was sort of just like, you know, I felt like a rerun. So I'm like, well, I'll give it one more issue. I'm willing to at least give it that.
Fair enough.
Okay, and our final lightning round title is Bloodshot Reborn. Now, this one is surprising me, because I thought, you know, Bloodshot Reborn, my opinion, the best Valiant book out there right now, and for us to do this on the lightning round, sort of, you know, it's on paper it sounds like a miscarriage of justice, but really, this was just an all-action issue.
It was a good issue. But, yeah, they killed a bunch of people. That was the entire issue. They killed a bunch of people. Art's good.
Yeah. So.
Like, what the fuck do you want me to say about this? This is
no, nothing. You pretty much said it all. It's like, you know, there wasn't much of a story. It was mainly action. And that's it.
I thought them continuing to yell things like goo guns. Just like, you couldn't come up with a better name for it than goo. I know that's not technically the official name for it, but that's what he calls it. So what he's yelling.
Oh, yeah.
They have goo technology. And it's like, come on, you fucking... How am I going to take this serious? And then, you know, Ninjak would cut guys' heads off, so it distracted you. Yeah, it was a good issue.
Yeah, so that's this week's lightning round. Let's go into our next segment, this week's books. Now explain to people why you picked that.
Oh, you didn't let the guitar come in.
No, I just picked the first 30 seconds. Sorry about that.
Well, this week, two people died. One of them was China, and nobody really cared because the same day, Prince died.
I think the best meme of that I saw was a picture of China, and it says, rest in peace, and underneath it said, Prince.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, you know, it sucks for her. She's had a hard life, but... It's fucking Prince, dude. Come on. He died young.
Yeah.
And he was like, it's not like he was like 80. He was like fucking 50 something. He wasn't on drugs. He didn't.
Well, he probably was. I'm sure once the toxicology comes out, I wouldn't be surprised if that's why he died.
He was a weird guy.
Yeah.
But if
you ever heard his music or seen him, you know, he's kind of a weird guy. Wouldn't shock me if he was on drugs.
Fucking amazing guitar player, by the way.
I'll give you that.
Never got enough credit for that.
Nope. Yeah.
Oh, well, it was sad. I was upset, but, you know, whatever. I thought we'd give a tribute to him, and I'm trying to figure out a way because we got the old video game music thing that we're pretty dedicated to, so I just typed in 8-bit Prince, and that was the first thing that came up, and I'm like, all right.
And you almost didn't get it because I'm like, well, it's Dave's turn, and if Dave wants to play, by all means. And I even speculated, well, like maybe we could postpone Dave's turn. But with the way this show turned out, yeah, we luckily just, you know, we were able to play it.
Yeah, Dave was like, I don't fucking like Prince. I just want to listen to fucking Swedish death metal or whatever.
To be fair, it was Ninja Gaiden 2, so.
Oh, he did pick Ninja Gaiden 2. No, well, that's cool. We can use that next week. Ninja Gaiden's pretty sick.
Yeah, but which song?
But you gotta honor. When Dusty died, we played fucking that song he probably hated.
But we are, in fact, you know, more so big pro wrestling folks than we are than music folks. At least me and Dave is, you know, especially.
You and Dave are, but...
Well, I think Dave is just not a big fan of that kind of music, and me just in general, I'm not a big fan of music, so... But you lucked out.
Fair.
Okay, let's go into this week's books, which include Astro City 34, Clean Room 7, Lucifer 5, Superman Lois and Clark 6, Tokyo Ghost 6, Hawkeye 6, Ant-Man 7, Captain America Sam Wilson 8, Extraordinary X-Men 9, Haunted Mansion 2, Howard the Duck 6, Hyperion 2, Karnak 3, Mighty Thor 6, New Avengers 10, Star Brand and Nightmask 5, Uncanny Inhuman 7, and Exo Manowar 46. Now, I was talking to Alex about something that's off air. You know what I realized? We review more comics than anybody else. There are other comic book podcasts out there that had a very similar format to ours, but bar none, we do more comic books more than anybody else. And that's sort of credited to you, because you insist on, you know, there's all these new titles that you want us to check out, or you're always, you know, you're willing to give a book a second, third try before you drop it, so... But thanks to this, we're uniquely qualified in the sense that we review more comic books than anybody else.
Yeah, we don't go as in-depth as some of the podcasts that only do 3 books.
Mm-hmm.
But we have the quantity, not quality.
Well, you know what the thing is? More often than not with comic book podcasts, I'll see them like, oh, I don't like that book. I don't like that book. And I'm like, I only like one or two books that they review, and they only review like 8 books. I'm like, well, I'm not going to listen to this. This podcast... If I hadn't been doing the show, I'd be like, I don't care about that title. I don't care about that title. But they review 10 titles I like, so I'm going to go on my way to listen to it.
Well, there you go.
Okay, let's go into our first title from DC Comics / Vertigo. We have Astro City 34, writer Kurt Busiek, art by Eric Brent Anderson.
This is the end of the storyline, the Steeljack storyline.
Yeah.
And it opened up in the last issue with him getting arrested. Well, we're caught up in time now, so he did, in fact, get arrested here. I almost felt like we missed an issue. Because in the last issue, they met up with a guy who was behind it all.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't really admit he was behind it all. And then in this issue, it opens up, and they're already fighting him and his robot guys. Who, by the way, his robot guys were working with him. One of them said, because he's in a robot body, and this guy has, like, robot porn. So, which I thought was great reason. He's like, hey, it's the closest I can get. But, you know, Steeljack, he's super strong. So he fought off the robots with the old lady Cutlass there. And then he fought off the bad guy's big giant death dealer or whatever it was called, some huge robot, because he's Steeljack. You can't kill him. He's made of fucking steel.
Mm-hmm.
So he beat that thing. And then the guy, his house ended up blowing up and he died, the bad guy. So Steeljack was arrested for killing him. But luckily, Cutlass and one of the other guys had cameras filming all this. So they found out he didn't actually kill him. It was all a evil plot. So he got out of prison. Cutlass had, since she was an old school criminal, she had stolen a bunch of the guys like memorabilia and, you know, she stole it and sold it. Not the most dangerous stuff. She said the most dangerous stuff that went to their version of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Eagle, nice.
You know, for protection. But she sold a bunch of the stuff. She bought his mom's house because Steeljack was, he'd been saving so that he could eventually buy his mom's house, the house he grew up in, so it wouldn't go, you know, get out of his family. And she ended up buying that, and she's going to maybe move in with Steeljack.
Aww.
He got a happy ending. This is a very positive last issue of a book.
Yeah, a story that I think I voiced my opinion on the last time we reviewed this Astro City book. I wasn't too on board with the story. I'm like, whatever they're going to do, they're going to do a noir story. And I'm like, I'm not, whatever. Turns out this is a completely different story. It's sort of a redemption story. You know, after he fights this supervillain, he has no really proof that, you know, this guy did all this stuff. So they just assume he went back to his old ways being a supervillain. But luckily, Cutlass was there. You know, he just assumed because, you know, her former nature that, you know, she just cut and ran. And that he was going to wind up going to jail. And he's like, you know what? I'm just going to make peace with this. This has been my entire life so far. I try to get clean. But no matter what I do, this seems to be my destiny. But like I said, it had that uplifting story where not only did they have all this proof, but they brought everybody in from the city that, you know, he lived in. They were all character witnesses. So that got him off the hook. And he got his happy ending where Cutlass was able to pay off the house. You know,
I was just going to say, I mean, I explained before the first Astro City arc I read was the Steeljack arc,
mm-hmm.
and it was 7 issues long in the original Astro City run. And this was when Busiek first got sick, so there was like a 2-year wait in between issues, I think 4 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
And I was new to, like, I'd read comics because my brother read comics, but I was new to comic shops at the time, and I had to keep asking, like, hey, when's the next issue of this coming out? I want to know what happens. They'd be like, oh, we don't know. And it finally came out 2 years later.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was good. So I had to read this, and I was predisposed towards liking it because I like the character. And they gave him a good resolution. I mean, they now have no reason to ever use him again.
That's the sad thing. It's like they gave him such a happy ending. She said there was a buyer for the house, and you just assumed he lost the house because he went to jail, but she bought the house and got it for him. And, you know, he's an older guy, and, you know, he got his house that he grew up in, and presumably he's going to hook up with Cutlass, so it's like, this is his happy ending. And, you know, you have enough characters in the Astro City, you know, pantheon that you don't need to bring him back.
Yeah, you don't need to bring him back. And it's so, I mean, Busiek is lucky in this that he has complete control, and he can give a character a firm ending. And you know, you can't do that in anything else. Spider-Man's never going to stop being Spider-Man, really. It'll always be a storyline. Batman's never going to stop being Batman, but Steeljack can stop being fucking Steeljack. Well, he can't. They're going to be fucking made of metal, but he can at least get a happy ending and not have to fucking fight supervillains and shit anymore. So that's nice that he can do that in this book, and I enjoyed this issue. I like this storyline.
Yeah, for a book that I wasn't totally on board with, I'm glad it stuck to landing. It was a really good way of ending a story arc.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's move on to our next book. Clean Room number 7, writer Gail Simone, art by Eric Canty.
This is really good, too.
Yeah, this is a contender. For me, this is a contender for Book of the Week right off the bat. I love this book.
Really?
I clearly, you know, when we first started reading this book and I saw the direction was kind of going in, I just assumed it was demons. And with demons, you know, their motivation is whatever, they're demons. They want
still could be.
They want, you know, well, they, all signs seem to point to at least something from another world, because they keep bringing up the fact that there's a spaceship and they're from another planet.
Mm, they never said spaceship. They said their craft.
Ah.
That's the thing. They're dancing around it, and she still calls them the entities.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, in this issue, we saw that Astrid had found a girl in her younger days who they had done, like, experiments on.
Mm-hmm.
Which Astrid, again, a hardcore bitch, she's kept this girl alive, even though because of what they did to her, like half of her body is completely fucking decayed.
Mm-hmm. It's all withered and looks like a you know, a stick of beef jerky.
Yeah, and when Astrid went to see her in the future, she's like, can you please fucking let me die? Like, this is terrible. And Astrid's just like, oh, no, I can't.
And then she, you know what she does? Is the worst part is what she does. She just leans her onto her side, the bad side, that you only see the good half.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fucking, huh. She's such a bad character, but I mean, given what she went through, it kind of makes sense. Like, she found out that her dad was one of the whatever they are,
mm-hmm,
when she was a kid. Because the whole gimmick is when they tried to kill her, and she actually had a talk with that the surgeon. When they tried to kill her, the reason they wanted to kill her was because they knew that she could see them,
mm-hmm,
and they didn't want that. And one of the things that was talking to her said, you know, we considered bribing you to shut you up, and we considered doing all these other things, but now we're just going to kill you and everyone you know. And
my favorite is they
look,
you
at
know,
all these other people. We got.
I don't remember because it was a couple issues ago, but they remind you. The guy that, you know, hit her with the car, he ran over her, and just to make sure she was dead, he packed the car up and ran her over again.
Have they explained how she didn't die?
No, they didn't, because she was hit, you know, full force. I remember it being a big, you know, shipment truck, wasn't it? Or was it just a normal car?
No, it was like a semi, I think.
Yeah, and she got hit, and somehow she survived, and they never fully explained that part so far.
Yeah, and she doesn't seem to have any after effects or anything. But, yeah, so these things, I mean, they indicated they could be aliens because they have ships and they grab people and they do stuff to them. But they also, like, you know, they got the body snatcher thing where they live inside people's bodies, but she can see them and a few other people can see them, usually after something happens to them. All these people she's been bringing into the white room, and they explained, or the clean room. The clean room she built using, like, wreckage from one of these things' craft. Because they pointed that out to her.
Mm-hmm.
She did some weird shit with it. Like, I thought it was just, like, a memory thing. Like, she was remembering back to when she was a kid. And it was the day she got hit, and her family were in church. And she was remarking on, like, oh, I could warn her, and I could stop all this, and one of the demons is there in the, well, demons, one of the things is there, and he's like telling her, like, yeah, you probably should stop it, and this would never happen, you wouldn't have to worry about it, but you won't do that. So whatever this room is, they gave the indication it actually allows her to affect the past.
Okay, now, that didn't come across, but they did show, you know, scenes from the past, so maybe that's what it is. But I was just under the indication is because of the room is part of their technology that she's able to influence them. That's my only indicator.
Back in the past?
That I didn't know. That I just assumed it was one of those things, you know, time travel. And you know, this be a great it'd be great if we had Dave here because he could, you know, sort of explain to us maybe if we're both interpreting it wrong. But I never got that impression that she can time travel.
Well, I thought it seemed pretty pretty clear, because, I mean, they were pushing her towards doing it, basically, because had she never been hit by the truck, she never would have been able to, well, she would have been able to see these things, because she saw it before she got hit. She saw the guy, and that's why they wanted to kill her. Mm-hmm. But maybe had this not happened, she wouldn't have, you know, she wouldn't have gone vendetta on the crusade she's on.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they have she's not like a great person, but they did babyface her in that these things are way worse than her.
Well, I always got that impression that she's just, you know, sort of a product of her environment. She's used to finding these heartless, you know, monsters, and because of that, she's become a very hard person who, you know, is a very results-driven person. She doesn't care how she does it. She doesn't care how she fights these, you know, whatever, these entities, that she's going to win no matter what. So, to me, it was one of those things where she doesn't come off as a horrible person, per se, when you compare them to these other characters.
She's really got no reason keeping that girl who wants to die alive.
That's true, but maybe she has her reasons. She doesn't want to
It seemed like it was more for her own benefit, like, because she was young when this happened, and she sees similarities in herself and that girl, except Astrid obviously came out of it a lot better.
Yeah, but this also could be, maybe this is going to be part of her war against these entities. She's trying to figure out some, she's maybe perhaps a key in fighting them, and that's why she wants to keep her alive. Because up until this point, she always has a purpose behind doing things. She doesn't do things just, you know, for whatever reason why. She always has a bigger, she always has something, a reason for doing everything. So the fact that she's keeping this girl.
The other thing was, she had the nurse who came up to her, and she's like, hey, what that girl really needs is she needs someone to talk to, and she went off on her, and she's like, no, you're never to talk to her, and we're going to talk about this later, because that would have been a horrible idea. And the reason why is because the fucking girl wants to die, mm-hmm. and she's probably thinking, well, if somebody else goes in there and she sees this fucking girl who's only got half a body, they might, you know, unplug her from whatever's keeping her alive, and I don't want her to die. That seemed like a selfish measure to me. I mean, you could be right and I'm wrong, and she's just thinking ahead, and this chick has a role to play, but
yeah, because up until this point, she's never been, you know, she's never been malicious for no reason. It's always been with the bigger picture in mind. So
she's doing this for the sake of humanity, but she doesn't seem to give a shit about humanity is the thing. Like,
with her, the ends justify the means. These entities are horrible monsters that want to kill all of humanity, and she's willing to make a couple people suffer, maybe in a couple instances make a couple people die, if the whole idea is to kill off these entities, make sure they can't, you know, get to humanity, take over the planet, or whatever their end game is. She wants to stop them by any means necessary. So
in this issue, like, we saw the inside of one of their crafts, and it didn't look alien. Well, I mean, what the fuck does alien look like?
I guess it could have. Yeah, but up to this point, I'm just, all signs seem to point to aliens, or at least some kind of alien. Because up until this point, I thought it was just straight up demon. This is the story we're dealing with. We're dealing with an exorcist type story from demons from hell. I didn't know any better. Well, and so they're giving, you know, I guess red herrings that maybe they are from another world.
Yeah, it could be like another dimension thing.
Could be another dimension, another planet. It would be cool if they were like demons from another planet.
They're dropping hints, but they're dropping hints in such a way that it's making us have this conversation.
And I like that because,
it's,
you know,
it's a plan thing.
Yeah, because the reason why I like this idea better, because it's like when you assume they're demons, they have no real motivation other than that they're demons, they want to do horrible things. If there's something else, you think maybe they have something either more deplorable in mind, or something, they have some kind of thing motivating them. So at least, you know, there's at least something going on in their head.
Yeah, no, it was a great issue, though. I have a really good transition, but instead I think we should talk about Superman.
You want to go from there talking to Superman? Because yeah, Lucifer would actually be perfect.
Speaking
but
of demons, and then we talk about Lucifer, but well, I like Lucifer more than Superman.
Okay, so. Well, we're still talking about things in the DC family, so that sort of fits what we're doing here.
We'll just slide to Superman, but remember that amazing transition, everyone, that I did.
We should have just gone with it, but whatever. Superman, Lois and Clark, number 7, writer Dan Jurgens, art by Lee Weeks.
Yeah, the kid has superpowers. We found that out in the last issue.
Mm-hmm.
Clark comes in to save him. The kid's really pissed that they never told him he was a superhero, even though he could fucking hear him through the walls and shit and knew something was going on.
Yeah, my favorite part is like, oh, this is complicated. He's like, that's what adults say when, you know, they're lying to you.
Yeah, when they don't want to tell kids something, which, by the way, is true. I do that to my son all the time.
But then they were also telling the truth in the sense that it is, in fact, very complicated because we were talking about traveling dimensions.
Yeah, they basically told him, we're from another world. And that Superman you saw in the newspaper or on TV or whatever, that's not your dad.
And the Lois that exposed the Superman isn't me.
So they explained all that.
He took it pretty well, actually, all things considered.
Yeah, well, he'd been through a lot that day. He'd been captured and tied up and almost burned to death. And
he finds out he has superpowers, and he's trying to figure out what his parents are hiding from him.
Yeah, and his parents are, well, they feel bad about not telling him. But in all honesty, they didn't know he was going to have superpowers. Like, they'd apparently talked about it when he was younger. But it just, you know, they never saw any signs that he did.
Yeah.
So, and they didn't know.
And to their defense as well, I didn't think a kid this young would be able to grasp the concept of, you know, multi-dimensions. And more specifically, I didn't think that he would believe them. Because this is something...
Maybe he reads comics.
Well, he's a kid and he watches TV. I'm sure kids' cartoons still deal with, you know, multi-dimensional travel, stuff like that.
Or he's watching old shows. He watches Sliders.
Well, let's put it this way. When you wind up having superpowers, the idea that your parents are traveling from, you know, different dimensions really isn't that far. Isn't that out of the realm of possibility?
Yeah, at that point, you can probably buy it. So, yeah, it was a good issue.
Good book.
I like it. Like this book.
Okay, let's go. Let's make a weaker transition, but let's talk the final DC / Vertigo book, Lucifer number 5, writer Holly Black, art by Lee Garbett.
This did something I did not expect to happen at all.
We got the reveal, and it wasn't who you thought it was. Was that it?
Yeah. Not only that, we got the reveal, but I mean, the smart thing is we got the reveal, but we didn't get the full reveal.
Mm-hmm.
Gabriel, who's been going around with Lucifer, he's the one who killed God.
Yes.
God is dead. He killed him. But he has no memory of killing him.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's something. Now he's fully heel turned now. He's on a war against heaven because he's pissed off of the way they used him. The issue is why it's still not over, even though we've solved the murder, is we haven't really solved the murder. We know what the weapon used to kill him was, but we don't know who controlled Gabriel to get him to do it. So that is now the mystery. Now, Lucifer in this issue was a very good Lucifer issue because he's such a fucking prick. Like, he basically reveals this. He knew it was Gabriel the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
Because he got hurt. When he got hurt, it was because Gabriel came and attacked him. And he was told to attack him by one of the other angels. Like, oh, you gotta go kill Lucifer. So, and, you know, Lucifer pointed out all the things he noticed that, you know, you weren't really human here and blah, blah, blah. And you're the one who gave me this wound and this and that. He killed a demon guy. What's his name?
Was Asriel?
Was that? Yeah, it was something like that. It was either that or Azazel.
Yeah, something like that.
He killed Demon Monster basically because he used him because he could like draw out the hurting in him, the black shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just like immediately killed him, which is kind of funny. Like, we thought this was going to be a big character. You know, it's an existing character from the last run. He just fucking killed him. Didn't give a shit. And then he explains everything. Gabriel laying it all out. Gabriel is very upset by all this. And is kicked out of heaven again because he's like, oh, Metatron did it. Because fucking we found one of his feathers here.
Mm-hmm.
So he flies up to heaven, gets the shit kicked out of him, gets thrown down again. And then he decides, well, got kicked out of heaven twice, time to go to hell. So he goes back to hell, meets with Mazikeen, and he's basically going to work for her now in a war against heaven.
Yeah,
which is just him, I guess.
And that was pretty much the end of this book, right?
Yeah, it was. I mean, I'm skipping over stuff because I don't, you know, I don't want to like recite dialogue from the book, but it was really well done how they set everything up, how they're still moving the story forward. But no, it was a really good issue. Holly Black, I smell big things from her.
She's a pretty good artist. I should just leave it at that. I was going to say all things considered, but I'm like, no, that's kind of dismissive. No, she's a great artist. End of sentence.
No, great writer. She's the writer.
Oh, she's the writer? Oh, I got that reversed. Yeah, okay, my mistake.
Yeah. I don't remember who the artist is. The art's great, though.
Yeah. This all in all is, you know, a good book. We don't really turn off DC stuff, but the Vertigo stuff, they've been cranking out as of late. It's all good stuff. Really.
This might be my favorite Vertigo book.
Ooh. And that's not just a lofty thing you can just throw out there, because there's a ton of great titles out there. There was what's the book with Allred? What's that called?
Art Ops. I really like Art Ops, but
Art Ops. I really like
Clean Room.
So
you don't, but me and Dave like Sheriff of Babylon. But for me, it's in the running between this and Sheriff of Babylon that are my favorite. The difference is this is continuing, and Sheriff of Babylon is, I don't know if it's going to be 12 issues or what, but it's not a series that's going to go on forever. So,
sorry, I'm very quickly. I'm looking up the writer so we can put him over. Lee Garbett.
Okay, you are a talented artist, sir.
Yes, very much.
Good job.
And Holly Black, you are a fantastic writer. So if you haven't already, check out this week's Lucifer issue 5. Fantastic book. I'm sure it's in running for contender for book of the week.
It is for me, yes.
Okay, let's move on to our next book from Image. Now, I don't know if you've read this. I think this is one of the series that maybe you dropped, but Tokyo Ghost?
Oh, no, I just never read it.
Oh, okay, so you've never read it since issue 1.
No, I should have brought that up.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I could very, very quickly do a review of it. We had, you know, they've since gone back to the world that they came back from Tokyo, and it's the Isles of Los Angeles. I'm looking at the write-up right now. And, you know, Los Angeles is going to crap. Even the rich people are talking about moving to Tokyo Ghost and completely screwing the customer base in Los Angeles, because really the entire economy seems to revolve around these people that make all these TV shows for people to watch. And they sort of bring up, well, aren't the people going to revolt, you know, when their means of making a living goes away? It's like, well, we'll just put on some kind of programming. We'll kind of hypnotize them, so when we leave, we finally go. But we have our main character. Let's see if I can remember what the name of her. I think it was Teddy or something. We deal with a lot of characters, a lot of storylines. I can't remember. I think it was Teddy. You know, he sort of reverted back to we've seen before. He was getting kind of off those nanomachines, and he's reverted back to sort of being a golem, a sort of a robot. You know, he's quick, very much becoming more machine than man. And at the end, we had his girlfriend, the main character, come back, and she clearly, I think she still has some feelings for her I guess now ex-boyfriend, but I think she's very quickly realizing he's a completely different person. Whatever hope that she thought he had is completely gone now. So I'm kind of curious to see how this book plays out. Is she going to completely shut him out, or is she going to still try to redeem him? So it's one of those stories that, not a big fan of Remainder, but this is one of his books since leaving Marvel that really, really like. And if you haven't already, check it out. All right, from there, we're moving on to Marvel. All New Hawkeye number 6, writer Jeff Lemire, art by Ramon K. Perez.
What book is this?
This is Hawkeye, you fool.
Oh, this is the end of Hawkeye.
for the foreseeable future, yeah. This is one of those things where I read it, they kind of wrapped it up, and you brought to my attention, like, oh, sad to see Hawkeye going away. I'm like, what are you talking about? And you said you read the letters in the back.
Yeah, I was yelling at him and Marvel because they never, ever even look at the stuff after the issue ends. And this one, the very first page after it ends, was like a letter from the artist and Jeff Lemire talking about how, oh, yeah, this is our last issue on this book. We know it looks like only 6 issues, but we started the storyline in the last volume of it, so it's actually like 18 issues, and we had a great time doing it. We wish luck to the team who takes it over next, and blah, blah, blah. Basically, what they did in this is they rescued the kids. The kids are going to live on an island with Hawkeye's brother and his family. Everything looks to be great there. And then him and Kate had a talk, and even though Hawkeye's like her surrogate father and the guy who made her want to be a superhero and everything, which they explained during the course of this story, she needs to go off on her own, she thinks.
Which I'm sort of sad, because really the reason why this Hawkeye books has still been around, or at least the reason why we've heard so much from Katie, is because she's been buddying up with Hawkeye. And if they are going to reintroduce a Hawkeye book, I don't think they're going to focus it on Katie. So I'm kind of, and really, Katie's been the best part of this book for a while now. And the idea of just doing a Clint book, I'm like, I don't know how much I care.
I don't know if that's what they'll do, because we already had the Fraction run on Hawkeye.
Mm-hmm.
And that primarily focused on Clint. The ending part of this story was all focused on her going off on her own.
Yeah, but this isn't going to end with her getting her own solo title that's going to go on for a while. If she gets her own solo title, I don't mean to rain on everyone's parade, but it will get canceled.
No, it won't. Not necessarily, because Ms. Marvel exists. There is room for young female teen superheroes.
See, I would make the opposite argument.
Character who, by the way, is more over than Kamala was before she was created. This isn't an unpopular character. People do like her, so it's not that she's not popular, but it's not necessarily a solo book. She could just be joining a team. We don't have a team of teen superheroes right now in Marvel.
True.
And
I mean, you sort of have that with the mainline Avengers team, the one in the Wade book, but that's only half the team.
Yeah. The all new, all different, and I mean, you could slot her into that team.
Or you could put her in A-Force. A-Force would probably be a better fit, actually.
Yeah, but they just, the reason I wouldn't put her in A-Force is the first 4 or 5 issues of that, I think it was the first 4 issues, because we're not on 5 yet, they were all structured around building that specific team. And also, given what they're going to be fighting, a girl with a bow doesn't really make a lot of sense. Well, you could argue that Hawkeye in any team doesn't make a ton of sense.
They even bring it with this book. It's like, oh, you're just on the team so someone can find you relatable.
Yeah, which is hilarious, because it's like they're talking to the reader to explain why Hawkeye is on teams. But no, I mean, you could slot her into the Avengers, and it'd be into that Avengers team, and it would be absolutely fine, since that's the team that has the older and the younger characters. You could put her in a new team. You could put her in Secret Avengers or the fucking whatever they do with the Thunderbolts, or, I mean, the only team she doesn't fit in is Ultimates and the Squadron Supreme. So.
And even Ultimates, you can make a case for that.
Yeah, but Hawkeye has had a book for a long time now. So if you relaunch Hawkeye, you do another book. Why not call it Hawkeye and have it be about Kate?
I would just say they have Ms. Marvel, but I think Ms. Marvel sort of cornered that market for teen superheroes.
So she's a very different character, though.
But you're looking at the landscape of, Ms. Marvel and Squirrel Girl and what else? Hellcat, and like, there's enough, there's enough of these titles out there. I don't see how Kitty Bishop could be any different and could survive on her own.
She's a more serious character. So it would have a completely different tone from all the books you just mentioned. Like, of those books you mentioned, the one issue we read of the Patsy Walker book, it was 100% a comedy book. Squirrel Girl is 100% a comedy book.
But then you have Black Widow, and then you have Captain Marvel out there.
Yeah, but I don't think there's a limit on the amount of female superheroes you can have. It's just, it's a matter of how different they are. And, like, the Kate Bishop book would not be like Squirrel Girl. It would not be like Patsy Walker book. It wouldn't even be like Ms. Marvel, because that's vastly different from the other books we read.
Well, since we're talking...
it wouldn't be like Black Widow.
True. It's a very different story, but I just feel like there's so many female books already out there. It's sort of hard to make a case for, an Archer out there. Although, you know what? To be fair, look at the Hunger Games. It's like maybe they could try to piggyback off that kind of success.
Young girl with a bow?
Yeah. I didn't even think about that till just now. I just had that thought. They could sort of package it and try to promote it that way. I didn't even think about that. That's actually pretty good. Oh, so since we're talking Katie, you know, the second half of this book was really, you know, dealt with Katie and the flashbacks of her being a kid. She was kidnapped, but these guys who had a falling out with her father, who she finds out in this book was, you know, kind of a really scummy guy. And that even though she's rescued by the Avengers, she breaks out, and then even though she's cornered by all these goons, luckily at the last minute, Hawkeye and the Avengers come in, make the save, they send her back to her dad. And there's this scene where she gets back in the car, and she's, you know, the dad's worried that her daughter's going to spill the beans about him. She's like, no, I didn't tell the police, I didn't tell anything to the Avengers, I'm going to cover for your lie. But he's like, you know what, I want nothing to ever do with you ever again. And that's sort of where off with her.
Said she's never going to lie for him again.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was good. I mean, it finished her story in the past, and it gave her something new to do in the future. This entire book is focused around her. That's why I think it's leading into a spinoff for her.
And like I said, as a reader, I hope we get that, but maybe I'm just being a cynic, and maybe I'll want to be proven wrong, but I worry about that kind of book. You know, just, I don't want her
depends on who the creative team is.
But then we've seen it again, you know, where they'll have a really good creative and it doesn't matter how good it is, you know, from a book perspective, if the star cachet isn't there, people aren't going to buy it.
You never know.
Okay. From there, let's go to Captain America, Sam Wilson, number 8, writer Nick Spencer, art by Daniel Acuna.
What happened in this? I don't even remember.
It's funny that you forgot what happened in this book.
Was this the issue where Cap was there and Bucky was there?
Yes. And they address every single thing that we've been talking about for the last couple of months, ever since they teased bringing back Steve, or ever since they made Sam Captain America. It's like,
and it did, yeah, it did nothing to change what I'm going to say. They did exactly what I said.
It addressed everything. It parodied exactly what we've been saying for months now, ever since they made Sam Wilson Captain America.
Yeah, he said, like, he's like, well, what am I going to do now? I can't be Falcon anymore because we just made a new guy Falcon. Can I be Super Falcon? He's like, does that work? And they're like, no, that's a fucking terrible name. But then Steve, good guy that he is, gave him, he was using his shield to fight, but then he gave him the shield back. He's like, hey, I know we had ideological disagreements and stuff. He's like, but you should never let that get in the way of friendship. He's like, I gave you this shield and there were no conditions on it. It's still yours. You're still Captain America. He's just like, wow, Steve, thanks. And I'm thinking like, fuck you. You're looking Nobody at the gives a shit.
You're looking at the clock. Let's see how much longer this lasts.
Yeah, I bet he's going to be fucking Cap. He's probably going to die in Civil War.
I think they even brought that. They even brought up our Bucky. He's like, when you saw Steve Young again, you were like, oh, man, I can't be Cap anymore. But even that.
Well, yeah, because Bucky's the one who went through the same thing.
Yeah, he's like, you know, I went through that same thing where, you know, Steve was gone for a while, so I sort of carried the mantle. But when Steve came back, I kind of knew I had to give back the shield. And he's like, well, you're going to have to go through that too, buddy.
Well, and, you know, to the credit of Nick Spencer, he even had Sam Wilson point out, he's like, well, it's not like things have gone that great for me as Captain America. It's like, I haven't exactly had the best run. So, yeah, you know, they dealt with it, and then they, you know, this was tied into the Pleasant Hill thing, so they fought, and Steve endorsed him again, which didn't help the first time. It's not going to help. It's going to help less this time.
I think it was Mach 5. He said, wow, it feels so amazing fighting alongside, you know, Captain America. He's like, well, no, it's just Steve these days. And he gives the shield back to Sam. He's like, well, he's Captain America now.
And then Mach 5's like, oh, yeah, great. Like, he didn't give a shit.
It's sort of, you know, I sort of like the direction of this book now where it's, you know, poor Sam Wilson. Can't catch a break.
I mean, that level of self-awareness is really nice for the book. Like, he's not pretending.
Yeah, they're not pretending. Oh, Steve gave Sam his endorsement to be Captain America, so everyone's going to be cool and just, you know, play along. No, it's Nick. He, in this issue, he very much winked to the audience. He's like, I know what's up. Okay. So.
Yeah, it was fun. I enjoyed this issue more than
Well, I enjoyed that part. It's the part where they deal with all the stuff that was still going on from Standoff. I'm like, whatever. I'm sort of over this event. It felt like it just barely started, but I'm so over it.
Yeah, it hasn't been overly enthralling.
I think they did the breakout too soon. I think this would have been a book that would have been better had they, you know, first they're teasing the dissension. The guys are very quickly figuring out what's going on with the Pleasantville. And then eventually, you know, they catch on and everything goes to hell. I think this
on
book
the other hand, everything's going to be building the Civil War. And they just needed something to bridge the gap.
Oh, well. But like I said, I'm going to put over this book for at least the parts with Sam and Steve and Bucky over. That part of the book was good, and I'll give this book a thumbs up. All right, let's move on to our next book, Extraordinary X-Men number 9, writer Jeff Lemire, art by Ken Lashley.
God, this is why we need Marvel.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, oh, God. There's very little I remember of what happened. I remember I was proven right. I think, was it you or Dave wasn't sure whether that fourth horseman was Venom?
Me?
Ha-ha!
I said he's not a mutant, but as it turns out, they're in the far future, Apocalypse One.
It was Moon Knight and Venom, right on both cases.
Yeah, but all the mutants have died out.
Yes, in fact, the opposite now, yeah.
They were not the fittest, and they did not survive. So the world is made up of Stark Tech people, like robots built by Tony Stark, which we saw in Guardians
3000.
Not Guardians of Infinity, Guardians 3000.
Mm-hmm.
So they oddly referenced that book.
You know what I found funny? They talk like Warlock.
Well,
they said self.
Because they're a machine collective.
I know. I thought maybe they were gonna go somewhere with a direction, but no, that was just their way of talking.
No, he's from an alien planet. They were just a big AI collective. But they were there in the future for over a year. Because they kept time skipping.
Mm-hmm.
Like they'd be like 28 days in. 200 days in, and then I got to like 405 days in. I'm like, Jesus Christ, they've been there for a long time.
Yeah.
In that time, No Girl almost died, and that's the floating brain in a jar, and they put her, the Stark robots put her in a giant badass robot suit. So she is now a robot with mind powers, which is pretty cool for her. Nobody else was really killed or hurt or anything, and they're going to the future to save them. So that all worked out okay. That I don't mean to be so dismissive of this because it was a fun issue with some cool art and the way the world was designed. Like everything was divided. It actually reminded me of Phantasy Star 2, which
is nerd.
Very obscure at this point, but everything's like divided up into these little different biomes. Separated by like little bridges, and they just walk through all of them trying to figure out what to do. Apocalypse is the big bad here, but we haven't seen him yet. So it's probably going to be Evan, by the way, when they finally find him.
Well, duh, that kind of goes without saying.
Yeah, because Apocalypse is, you know, dead. So it'll be Evan. But, no, it was good. It was just them wandering around. We got a lot of character moments out of them, and it was only the young kids, really, in this issue. At some point, Colossus, he got separated from early on in the issue, and that's when they wandered around for a year. But he ended up joining, I don't know, he was the Fifth Horseman. He was J.J. Dillon.
I'm glad you bring that up, because I guess we're going to take a bit of an intermission as far as the comic book reviews are concerned, because... you know, I'm on our Twitter, twitter.com/acomicpodcast, and hashtag classic wrestler films is trending, and I don't know why. One of the images is that it shows Steamboat Willie, and he's hanging out with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. What else is here? There's a picture of that one movie with Sam, what's his name? That Hot Rod movie, Mitchell Piper. Some of these are funny, but most of them aren't actually particularly
funny. They Live?
What's that?
They Live?
No, it was that movie with that guy from SNL, Hot Rod. Sam something.
I never watched.
They show
that.
Him paired up with Roddy Piper. It's apparently something that's trending. Let's see. One of them they show the Bush. One of them they show the Bushwhackers, and it says Cole Hand, Butch, and Luke. That's kind
since
of
we're completely off topic now. Did you watch Raw Monday?
No.
Cesaro was out there with Miz. Miz's new gimmick is he reads lines from movies multiple times. Yeah, it's a fucking money drawing thing. So Cesaro comes out and he's got his suit on. He's chewing gum.
Mm-hmm.
He's quoting movies. He's like, I'll quote a movie too. The great Rowdy Roddy Piper was in. I'm here to do two things, kick ass and chew some bubble gum. And I don't have any more bubble gum. And I'm like, you had one fucking line and you fucked it up.
Oh, I see what they're doing with this. It's wrestler classic, I guess just films in the lexicon of popularity. And they're finding ways to put pro wrestlers in there. I think one of these is Tony Atlas Shrugged, From Dusty Rhodes Till Dawn, Sting Blade.
Sting Blade.
The Midnight Pineapple Express.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Taxi Pile Driver. Let's see if I can find one vaguely superhero related so we can come back to the program. The China Syndrome, but spelled with a Y. Let's see if I can find one for our next book. I'll try one more, and then we'll just go back to the review. Gorgeous George of the Jungle? No, nothing. All right, let's go back to our comic book review. Haunted Mansion number 2, writer Joshua Williamson, art by George Kaleo.
This was an enjoyable read.
Yeah, not as good as the first, but still.
It's a cute ghost story trying to, much like Pirates of the Caribbean, trying to craft a story based around a Disney ride.
And even more so, they try to tie it in sort of, you can kind of tell, with at least a Pirates theme sort of. Because one of the ghosts in the mansion that were plotting against this little boy was a pirate, and he came across this mansion, and he was hoping to be a pirate ghost before the reason why he's stuck haunting this mansion.
Well, okay, so the way they explained it was most of the ghosts here, they're trapped here because of three ghosts, well, one in particular, but they're trapped there because of some ghosts who, okay, if you die in the mansion, then you're stuck in the mansion as a ghost, but you get power over the house.
Mm-hmm.
So the evil guy who's in charge is this pirate guy who heard stories about a mansion that had a bunch of treasure hidden in it. So he goes and sails off to this mansion. He ended up dying.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a bad guy. So he like put spells on some of the ghosts so they have to stay there. And he did some other stuff, and he can't leave until he finds this treasure, which might not exist. The grandpa apparently went here and died when he was in here, but he was looking for his wife's ghost, because all the traveling he'd done was apparently to try to find the ghost of his dead wife.
Mm-hmm.
But found out she was stuck in this mansion. So he went there, and then he died, and that's why. You know, they said he's stuck here, and we might eventually find out the grandpa's not there at all, and it's all bullshit. The kid currently at the end of the issue, all the ghosts in the dining hall, they're all there because he cast a spell of merriment on them,
mm-hmm.
where pretty much they don't want to leave the room because there's a party going on, and all they want to do is party.
Yes.
The kid was afflicted by this spell.
he's like... You know, I think it was sort of like, do you remember why you came? He's like, no, I don't.
Yeah, because he forgot, because all he wants to do is party. That's it. So he's stuck at the party forever, maybe. We're not sure. Which isn't the best way to kill him. Because the evil pirate, he thinks like he has to use the kid to get to the treasure.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then he's going to kill the kid, but... Which would also be stupid, by the way, because if he kills a kid, and the kid's in the mansion, and they said that gives you power, then the kid would have fucking power. So there's a big flaw in this pirate's plan, but I assume he's been in the mansion for a couple hundred years, and he's probably crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all I can figure on that. Even if you're a ghost, you can probably go crazy if you get bored enough.
Well, I'm sure he just wants more people to talk to. Or he's such a strong ghost, if he has more people to have domain over.
What? what he said, what he was upset about was he's like, if you're a pirate and you die at sea, then you haunt the seas. So I get to be a pirate forever. He's like, but because I died drowning in this mansion, so he still died due to water, but it was inside the mansion. He's like, now I'm stuck in this fucking mansion and I can't get out unless I find this treasure. If I find this treasure, I can get out. I don't know what he's basing this on, but
it's ghost science. Don't question it.
Okay.
One of my favorite parts of this book is obviously we know all the ghosts are partying. At one of them is Pickwick. He's all, what better way to spend all of eternity than partying? You should see what we do for Christmas. It's a nightmare. I'm like, oh, that's terrible. Yeah. Do you get the reference?
No.
Okay, and this is something I have to explain to you because you don't regularly attend Disneyland. Neither do I, but I get the reference. So what they'll
twice.
Huh?
I've been twice in my life.
Okay, here's what they do for the Haunted Mansion ride for Christmas. They set it up like Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, yeah, that's the only way I've ever seen it.
Oh, so you don't know there's a regular? It's not normally set up that way?
No, I know. I know it exists because, like, Lauren, you know, she grew up outside Anaheim. Mm-hmm. So she went to fucking Disneyland all the time. And she's always sad when we go. Just the two times we've went, it happened to be when it was set up as Nightmare Before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And her dad always goes, oh, they ruined it, because he thinks it's permanently like that because her dad's fucking weirdo. Doesn't know anything. It's every time I've been, it's been Nightmare Before Christmas, which I'm okay with because, like, that's the only thing Tim Burton ever did that I liked. So, well, that and Beetlejuice.
Well, I just thought that was a cute line. They're sort of acknowledging that there's, in fact, a real ride, and they do stuff
I didn't even realize it.
I posted on Twitter, Nick. So far, I've been posting stuff, and that's got actually, of all things, that got a lot of traction.
Well, I don't use Twitter. Come on.
We should.
Even our Twitter.
Huh?
No, I'm on Facebook, but I don't use Twitter. Sorry.
Yeah, you stopped using our Facebook as well.
Yeah, I know. Well, I've been too busy.
Okay. I won't give you crap on that because I know you work, what, 12, 13-hour days?
So yeah, it's pretty bad.
So I won't give you crap on that. All right, let's move on to our next book. Howard the Duck, number 6, writer Chip Zdarsky, art by Joe Quinnos.
Best comedy book.
More often than not, I'll agree with you, but this is this instance is where I liked the last issue of Squirrel Girl because it was a tie-in, mainly because I got the feeling that Zdarsky wrote it. And reading this book, I got the feeling the guy who writes Squirrel Girl wrote this. And I'm like, this reminds me why I still don't like Squirrel Girl.
I read this and I buried the shit out of you on Facebook to Marvel.
Because
I'm like, hey, I just read Howard the Duck, laughed my ass off. What was that book Fat Man kept putting over that I thought was like 20 pages too long and didn't like? I'm like, yeah, that. And we couldn't remember the name of it.
Was it Gwenpool?
The Hit?
Oh, The Fix.
Yeah, the one I didn't like that you loved. I'm like, this is way funnier than that, because it didn't overstay its welcome. It kept doing quick jokes. And I like that. I like the little fucking square. Listen, this doesn't really need a review. It was funny. But, you know, some of the stuff I like was the fucking little squirrel Wolverine. I liked him.
See, this is the thing where it did stuff like that was completely over the top, and I'm just like, whatever.
I also really like, because Zdarsky, I think, did write this.
No, I got the feeling the guy who does Squirrel Girl, Ryan North, wrote this.
He was aping his jokes. Like, they had at the bottom of the pages, you know, Squirrel Girl always does that thing where it has, like, liner notes, where they'll make a little joke at the bottom of the page. So what they did in this one was they had him doing that, and then the writer of Squirrel Girl would also do it, but he would, like, comment on the jokes he was making. And I thought those two doing that together was actually really funny at times, because he kept trying to make, like, Howard-based puns, but they didn't work as well as the nut puns that they usually do. So that
was good.
This
book was everything I hated about Squirrel Girl. What's that?
Oh, because I felt like it read like an issue of Howard the Duck, except for those things.
The only part that I like was Beast trying to, you know, he was being a diva.
They buried the shit out of him.
What's that?
And that was, they buried the shit out of Beast. It was funny every time.
He kept putting over the fact that it's like, I'm a founding X-Men. Like, you can't do this to a founding X-Men.
as a founding member of the X-Men, and then like he get punched in the face or something.
And then I think when they started fighting, Beast went off to me, my ex-Beast.
And is this was the one with Kraven, right?
Correct.
When he wait, no, Kraven was in two books.
He was in two books this week. Yeah. He was in this book. Yeah,
he was actually funnier in the other one than he was in this one. He was here in this one. They were fighting. See, I didn't read that Squirrel Girl, but they said in the front thing, they're like, this is part two of a crossover with Squirrel Girl. Go read Squirrel Girl now. But if you don't read Squirrel Girl, Howard does a pretty good job of explaining what happened in the first page of this book. And when you open the book, it's just the biggest fucking text block I've ever seen in this comic. Or in the last run of the comic of Howard basically telling you what happened in the last issue, like unabashedly. They didn't even try to disguise it. He just explained what happened in the last issue. And then they were like, oh yeah, I remember that. it was good. But it was funny and they beat the bad guy.
Yippee. I'm looking forward to the next issue where it's in no way Ryan North associated.
Yeah, Tony's full of shit. It was fine. It was fine. It read like Howard the Duck.
We shall agree to disagree. Now, a book I'm sure we're probably going to agree on since Dave's not here. Hyperion Issue 2, writer Chick Winding, art by Nicole Varela.
Hey, this issue was good. Lura was right.
You know who didn't like this book? Right. Carl, of all people.
He what?
He hated this book.
Well, that's all right. I don't care.
Oh, you don't like Carl?
I didn't say that. I just said I don't care. Dude, you know that. I don't care what anyone thinks about anything. I care if I like it. I don't care if people don't like it. I don't care if you like it. I don't care if Dave likes it. Everybody can hate some shit if I like it. That's all that matters to me. I ain't going to change my mind because somebody else doesn't like it. It was fucking good. Hyperion's kind of a dick, though.
No, he isn't. It's this girl who keeps, you know, she's pushy.
She's a little girl. Like, he's a superhero. That's what she reasoned. He's a superhero. He should want to help people out with their problems, but he doesn't want to help her out. Like, he saved her. The Carnival of Crime, we actually didn't get the big fight because it happened in one page in, like, a flashback where it was like, oh, yeah, you remember when you beat them? That was pretty much it. And then, you know, he like drops her off at like, he takes her to this place and she finds her dog. And he's like, okay, well, this is a bus stop, so a bus will be coming. You're all right. She's like, wait, you're just going to leave me here? But I haven't eaten. And he's like, yeah, I can't take you and a dog to go eat. She's like, yeah, you can. So whatever. He goes and takes her to go eat. And then he goes and calls his dispatcher because he has to tell him he's fucking used his truck as a baseball bat, which dispatcher would not be happy about, I'll tell you that right now. But no, he goes to do that and she's, you know, chowing down and stuff. And then he has another talk with her where he's like, listen, these carnival people, like, I don't know what happened with you. And she's like, oh, they kidnapped me when I was young. I was an orphan and they kidnapped me. He's like, okay, well, whatever. They kept you for a reason and you're not going to tell me what that is. So you're lying to me. He's like, I don't really want to help people who are lying to me. And, you know, whatever. And she's like, oh, but this guy here is sitting at the stable. He's really sad because his daughter, she's dead. Somebody killed her. Nobody believes that somebody killed her. And you have to, and I told him we'd help. And he's like, what the fuck do you mean you told him we'd help? He's like, what are you going to do? You're a little kid with a dog. He's
like, I'm going to do all the work.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to do all the work. You're not going to do anything. He's like, no, I'm good. I can help. And Hyperion's finally like, oh, fuck it. All right, whatever, I'll help you. So they're going to investigate, and the girl, she was the first thing we saw in the book. She's like in a car making out with her boyfriend. And then
they're attacked by worms.
Worms?
Yes.
Worms attacked her, and they said that they apparently ate their hearts.
Gross.
And, like, they found dead worms in them and stuff, so Hyperion, he's got the supervision there, and he looks at the worms, and he's like, they've got human DNA. And he's like, I don't mean they have human DNA, like, inside them because they ate them. I mean, they have human DNA because they're made partially of humans. So, because this is really fucking weird and creepy, Hyperion is now interested, and it's apparently going to help out the Carnival of Crime. which is not what they're called, but it's what I'm calling them.
Yeah. My name, by the way.
I think that was the TNA faction, by the way, Carnival of Crime.
I think it was just called the Carnival, something like that.
Crazy Steve.
Yeah.
Them. Yeah. So they're fighting a TNA faction who are on hard times. They need money.
The difference between that and this is this is actually entertaining.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Maybe that shit was entertaining. I didn't watch it. But yeah, so the Carnival of Crime was gotten out of jail. They were all in jail. And they got out because of some scurvy-looking lawyer guy. And we're not sure what his deal is. But I don't think they're going to be much of a threat to Hyperion since he already beat the shit out of all of them once.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how this worm person, worm guy, because the kids, when they were trying to get it on, one of them's like, hey, I just saw somebody. He's like, nah, you didn't see anybody. And then the worm attack happened. So that guy had something to do with it. Maybe he's a part of the Carnival of Crime.
Yeah. And obviously, because the little girl's tied up with Hyperion as well, they could always do the gimmick of maybe they're not a threat to Hyperion, but they're going to go after the girl.
Yeah, and that's probably why she's still there.
Mm-hmm.
And her little dog, too.
I didn't even think about that. That's actually really good.
It's actually not a little dog. It's a pretty fucking big dog.
Yeah, but the joke doesn't work.
Yeah, well, I know. Well, we'll find out. This was an improvement over the first issue. I like that Hyperion is not just 100% Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he is kind of a dick. Like, if this is Superman, he'd fucking help her find her dog. He'd get her some food. Maybe find her a house, fucking solve all her problems. Hyperion, he's like, I can't deal with this shit. I don't like you. You're a liar. And he just tries to blow her off, but he didn't. So, yeah.
Good book. All right, let's move on to another good book. Karnak number 3, writer Warren Ellis, art by Gerardo. Let's see if I can pronounce this. Safino.
Best issue of this series.
Really? I like the first issue a lot better.
No, I like this a lot better than the first issue because we got more Karnak, who's also a dick, by the way. We've got a long run here of main characters in books who are kind of dicks.
Well, you know it's the 90s, dude.
he doesn't have, like, a bunch of pouches, and Karnak doesn't really use a gun. Although this comic had my favorite panel in comics this week where you know, they're on the S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier because Karnak's working for S.H.I.E.L.D. And all the mind-controlled people, they, like, look up, and he said they're making a noise like a sick and dying cat, and that's not normal for people to make. And then fucking lasers shoot out of their mouths. So Karnak comes up with a plan of, okay, well, can this thing broadcast sound? And they're like, yeah. He's like, all right, well, broadcast this frequency. And it's at such a tone that it's like the direct counter to the noise they are making that is making lasers shoot out of their mouths. So when he has them play this tone, we get a, I think it was a full page of all their fucking heads exploding, which is amazing. Karnak does not fuck around.
Nope.
And, you know, there was talk of what existed before the universe and, you know, big story stuff. A lot actually happened in this issue. I'm going through it quick because I read this right before we started recording.
That's just as fine. You know, this one of the first books I read, so a lot of the stuff that happened in this book was a while ago, and I don't remember everything super well, but with that said, I still like this book.
A lot of it was Karnak's kind of a dick and kind of a weird guy, and Coulson was there as the normal person to react to the things Karnak was saying. That's basically what it was. Karnak in this book very much comes off as the smartest man alive. So,
but he knows it, so he's not very nice about it.
Yeah, but they put him around characters who are more normal to make him stand out more, but it also makes him seem like a giant douche.
Yeah, and they really drilled home. Obviously, we had the reveal in the last issue, but they really drove home the fact that, you know, he hasn't been exposed to the Terrigen Mist, so while he is an Inhuman by lineage, he hasn't been exposed to the mist and necessarily doesn't have powers.
Yeah, and this is a retconning thing. I mean, he has the same powers he had before, but he didn't get them through the Terrigen Mist. He got them because he grew up in this Tower of Wisdom thing or whatever it's called. He's a part of like an inhuman religious sect or something, and that's how he got his powers. Which, also, his head doesn't look as weird now.
Well, it's always been like that because of the helmet. No, I'm thinking of images now in the past from the Jenkins run. No, yeah, you're right. He did have that kind of oval head before.
Yeah, because they changed this. They like, for the purposes of this book, they added on to the well, that's not fair to say. They've been doing that since Attilan crashed, and we found out there were other pockets of Inhumans and stuff. But
well, you know, Secret Wars, dude.
Yeah, but I'm just saying this happened before Secret Wars. It's just during Secret Wars, they decided he was a guy who was never exposed to the Terrigen Mist, even though he was an advisor to the Inhuman royal family. So the reason he's not there now is because he had this other group of Inhumans that he came from, that he worked with, and he's more going back to that instead of dealing with New Attilan.
Yep.
So, good issue, though.
Yeah, good issue. Great series. I'm curious. I hope this lasts a little bit longer than 5 or 6 issues and it just goes through a trade.
Probably not.
Or it'll continue, but underneath the Watch Why of Brian Wood.
It's probably going to be another fucking Brian Wood's going to come in and write it, finish the story up, and then it'll get canceled.
Oh, well. Enjoy the ride where we still can, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Next book, Mighty Thor number 6, writer Jason Aaron, art by Russell Daterman.
This could have been lightning round. I realize that. This entire issue was, it opens up and, the Minotaur, the president of Roxxon, he's talking to Loki and he basically says, okay, so I'm making all this money. Everything's going really good, but I don't trust Malekith at all. Like, he's probably going to turn on me and try to kill me. So I need an army. I need allies, you know, cause he's got these elves now, and he's got the frost giants, he's got this and that, I don't have nothing. I got guns. He's like, my guns aren't really gonna help against the frost giant. So he talks to Loki, and Loki tells a story. The entire story is pretty much flashback about this Viking guy who he won every battle he was ever in because he prayed to Thor, and Thor would come down and fight with him. But then one day he started to get mad because people were like goofing on him, like, oh yeah, you're real tough. What would you do without your fucking pet god, pussy? So he's Viking. He's a very proud man. So one day he doesn't pray for Thor, but the other side prayed for Thor. So Thor ends up fucking killing his army, embarrassing the shit out of him, you know, all that. And this guy ends up going to Loki for power. Loki tells him, okay, you got to go here, kill his dragon, drink his blood, which he does. And then he turns into Viking Incredible Hulk, pretty much.
Yeah, he tells him to drink all this dragon blood until, you know, whatever. And then eventually he turns into like an old school Hulk and fights Thor.
Yeah, but like made out of fire, sort of. And he fights Thor. And Thor, I mean, Thor obviously beat him, but it was a tough fight. But the cover of the next issue is this guy. So, he's going to get this guy's help, which, I mean, I'm not well read on Thor. I don't know if this is an existing character or not. And since Marvel's not here, I didn't look it up because I didn't know Marvel wouldn't be here. And I assume he would have looked it up and told me, but I get the sense, given how much time they gave to his origin, this is a new character that they are going to bring in, and he's going to be a bad guy. And he kicked Thor's ass before, so maybe he can kick Thor's ass again.
My question is, they obviously did the setup with Loki talking about Malekith. I'm curious to see why he's telling this story specifically. You know what I mean? It's like,
introduce the character?
What's that?
Introduce the character?
You think that this old school mythology Hulk character is going to make its return in modern day 616?
Well, if you continue past the last page of the book, you get the cover to next month's book, which is this guy. He's on the cover.
But it could still be in the past. Because he didn't even finish the story from the past, so it could be just a continuation of that. But then my question is, what does this have to do with the current storyline? Unless
he's gonna bring him in to help the Roxxon guy. This is gonna be the guy he gives him to help. Now, Loki, we still don't technically know if he's a good guy or a bad guy. I personally think he's still a good guy, and he's probably putting this guy on his team because this guy's going to be hard to control. And then, you know, Loki knows that eventually all these different groups of bad guys, they're not going to be able to stay teamed up, and eventually they're going to fight each other. So I think what he might be doing is he's trying to even out the sides a little bit so that when the fight happens, the bad guys do as much damage as possible to themselves.
Got it.
And the Asgardians can just kind of clean up. I think that's what Loki's endgame is going to be, because I just don't buy him as a bad guy anymore.
Yeah, that, and you know he's going to have some kind of contingency plan if he has this Hulk-type creature for when eventually Malekith stabs him in the back. Because we already saw that Malekith already has plans that, you know, he has Loki on his team, but he has him at arm's length distance because, you know, Loki's Loki, but at the same time, hey, Malekith is a horrible human being as well.
Yep.
All right. Let's move on to our next book, New Avengers number 10, art by Al Ewing, art by Gerardo Sandoval.
They were in the Megazord, and they fought American Kaiju, and things were going okay, but then, you know, they couldn't really, you know, it's Godzilla, they couldn't really beat him, and then... Sunspot revealed that it was powered partially by like a gamma reactor, and he opened like the head of the thing, and it shot out a big gamma blast, which shorted out the things they put in the guy that they made into American Godzilla.
Yeah,
and turned him back into a human.
Even though he had more than gamma powered, he had, you know, pim particles and all these other things.
They said the implants they put in him were gamma powered or something.
The gamma power stabilized his powers, and without that, he returned back to being a normal human being.
I don't know how he knew all this, but he did. And it was basically just an excuse.
Well, I don't think they knew. They were just trying to see what would work against this American Kaiju, and right out the gate, that was the first thing that worked, and they got lucky.
Oh, yeah. So they beat that, but Hawkeye got captured because Songbird, it turned out, was working for S.H.I.E.L.D. the whole time. Like, Hawkeye was a double agent, but he was a double agent who wasn't really reporting to S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, he came out and flat out said to everybody on the team, he's like, I'm the double agent, just so you guys know.
Yeah, but as it turns out, she was the real double agent.
Mm-hmm.
And she really did turn on them for S.H.I.E.L.D. And then the last page was Sunspot and Cannonball are team back up.
Yeah!
He mentioned the Secret Avengers, which... Is New Avengers getting canceled now and they're going to relaunch it as Secret Avengers?
I think they're just, this is just a gimmick.
The funniest part in this book was the really excited AIM scientist who's like describing how they can teleport out and teleport back in. He's just overly excited and he's putting over the Supreme Leader, which is Sunspot.
Mm-hmm.
But their AIM, so they still have to call him the Supreme Leader, and this is when Rick Jones...
Oh, okay, that's what threw me off. I'm like, are they... These AIM guys are turning on Sunspot already?
No. They just kept calling him Supreme Leader and what a genius he is and all his plans and stuff. And Rick hears him talking like this. He's like, yeah, I'm not going to do this. I'm not working with AIM. AIM is bad guys. I'm not doing this. And when he starts to walk away, he, like, opens up the door to their... their hidden base, and all the S.H.I.E.L.D. guys are there with guns, and he's like, all right, we can go.
Wacky.
And he runs away through the portal. So, it's all good. And yeah, I don't know what's coming after this.
Are we going to keep reading this or no? I mean, the only reason why we picked it up again was because of the American Kaiju stuff. I thought that was hilarious. Yeah, but
I like these two issues, and the last page indicates whatever follows is going to go in a different direction, so...
Okay, maybe we'll give it another issue. See if we like where it's going.
Yeah, might as well.
Okay, a book that I really don't want to read because I already know it's getting canceled. And flipping through, I'm like, not a whole lot happened, but I decided to read it anyway. Starbrand Nightmask, issue 5, writer Greg Wiseman, art by Dominique Stanton.
It hasn't been announced as canceled yet.
The writing's on the wall.
Okay, so the worst thing in this issue was the bad guy we saw who was hanging out with Eternity's kids. was Libra, a character so inconsequential that when I was talking to Marvel about this and I said, the fucking bad guy is Libra? And he goes, who's that? Is it one of those Zodiac fuckers? And I'm like, Marvel, didn't you say you read every issue of Avengers? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, he's an Avengers villain. He's a bad Avengers villain, but he's an Avengers villain. Marvel's like, no, he's not. So I had to link him to the Marvel Wiki explaining who Libra was. And he's like, oh, yeah, I remember him now. He's not really important, though.
No, not at all.
Yeah, he's a jobber villain, pretty much. And they tried to, you know, they tried to power him up for this. And he fought what might have been Mantis, who's a jobber hero, who is the RA that Starbrand likes, physical therapist.
Yes.
So in this issue, they were lining up to register for classes. By the way, Nightmask, he's going to major in, I think it was poetry.
Well, you know, they brought up that when he was at the college that he was going to before he got his powers and blew it up. I think, what was he studying, engineering?
No, that was Starbrand.
Oh, okay.
Nightmask decided he wanted to major in poetry, which everything's a major now. I'm sure poetry is a major somewhere, but it just seemed odd to me that, yeah, I'm majoring in poetry. And Starbrand says, well, I mean, when I was going to school before I blew it up, I was going for engineering. And now that I got these powers, that would be super easy. I could just coast through the classes. And Nightmask tells him, no, you can't do that because you need to reconnect to humanity and all that. And you can't do it by coasting through classes, which, well, bullshit, by the way.
He justifies his name taking the poetry major because they're not there to learn, because, you know, they're these cosmic beings. They know so much of the universe. They can probably, I'm sure it was not hard finding work for them. No, the reason why they're both there is so that they can connect with humanity. So it would make sense for him to take something like that, like a poetry, or for, well, you know, Starbrand to have to take a humanities course or humanities major.
That's primarily Starbrand. Like, it doesn't matter if Nightmask connects to humanity. He said they had to go to school for Starbrand because he's the one who's supposed to be the Earth's defense system. So if he's going to defend the Earth, he has to understand people. The funny thing of this is Starbrand clearly understands people better than Nightmask, who's a giant fucking weirdo. Mm-hmm. Like, so they end up getting invited to the gym by two rats, superhero rats, which they go there with, and, you know, Nightmask getting checked out by one of the girls and the gay dude, which was the humor. And then, you know, he went to see the girl and Libra showed up and the issue ended. This is a fun comic. I actually hope it doesn't get canceled because they've gone a couple of interesting directions with it. And he does really good character work, building these guys up. I mean, in these four issues, he's done more with them than Hickman ever did in 3 years, which, you know, to be fair to Hickman, he had a cast of like 40.
Yeah, but then he also established his character and then proceeded to do almost nothing with them.
Yeah, he pulled a Bendis on these characters. So, Hickman, with all the new characters he introduced, he did a little bit with Hyperion. A little bit. He really didn't. He did Starbrand's introduction and then never did anything with him. He did a little bit with Sunspot and Cannonball. But those were a lot characters. Of these newer characters, he didn't do shit with.
Remember Thane?
Well, that wasn't his fault.
That was one of those characters. I'm like, oh, he spent a lot of majority of Infinity setting up Thane. I'm like, ooh, I'm sure when Secret Wars comes around, Thane's gonna play like a huge, you know, pivotal role, because, you know, Hickman's one of these guys who he sets stuff up, and obviously he always thinks with the big picture in mind. He's gonna probably bring him back and do something with him. It's like, nope.
Never did anything. Thane existed so that they could stop Thanos without killing him, and so Thanos could break out. That's the only reason Thane existed. And then he sent him into outer space, where he may very well still be. We don't know.
There was that
probably one, not though, because Thanos was left Because Reed didn't put Thanos back into creation. He had to bust his way in.
Mm-hmm.
So if Thanos never existed, then that means Thane never would have been born. So Thane no longer exists.
And it's by Hickman's own doing, too.
Yeah, because he's the one who wrote it. So that, oh, Thanos doesn't. So maybe Hickman realizes he's like, fuck this Thane guy. I completely forgot about him when I was writing the story. So I'll just make it so he doesn't exist anymore.
There's so many instances where he does stuff like that. He'll like, in New Avengers stuff, like do, like he established Pod and it's like, seemed like a cool character, beat the Avengers single-handedly. And it's like, from there he proceeded to do nothing again with them.
Well, at least Pod stuck around and that like they've done some stuff with.
Well, only because of Al Ewing. I mean, really, honestly, who else is using those characters? Nobody else. So really, you gotta wonder, it's like, well, what's the point of introducing all these characters if A, you're not gonna do anything with them, and then B, you already know nobody else is gonna do anything with them?
Well, he doesn't know nobody else is gonna do anything with them. I mean, technically, the people who wrote Guardians of the Galaxy could have used Thane. They chose not to.
Well, there was that one limited series that they did with Thane, which was kinda cool, but I never actually got around to finishing it. But it explored some cool ideas with Thane, but, you know, like I said, it was a web-exclusive comic, and then it came out, and I guess we read the first issue, maybe, and they were like, well, let's not read this.
Yeah, I read the first issue, and it was fine, but I'm like, I don't want to read this. So, yeah.
Okay, let's move on to our next book, Uncanny Inhumans, number 7, writer Charles Soule, art by Brandon Peterson.
The capo's back. We found that out in the last issue.
Mm-hmm.
He used the Terrigen inhibitor on our heroes, so they couldn't fight him temporarily. And Uhura,
let's go with
Black Bolt's son is going to be the new president of NLX.
Mm-hmm. He's going to make NLX great again.
Sure. We're not sure why the current president was confused as to who nominated him and how he got in, but they're like, oh, but he's such a good talker. Must be because of his parents.
Oh, yes.
So he,
because of Black Bolt. He's a great speaker, that Black Bolt.
No, he meant because they were royals, and he carries himself with a, he's got a swagger to him.
Okay. I'll give it to you.
Yeah, so the capo's the bad guy right now. And Uhura's taken over Intellects, which isn't really good for the Inhuman world because we've already got the Inhuman royal family running New Attilan. And then another big Inhuman group is Intellects, and someone in the Boltagon family, I just said that, are going to be running that. And then we've got the Quiet Room, which is a big deal, and Black Bolt's running that.
Well,
are they going to send Lockjaw to be in charge of something?
That'd be cool. I'd read that.
Triton's going to take over Atlantis.
Hey, for those of you who are on the Wrestling Observer message board, I actually went through, because, you know, we talked Black Bolt before, and, you know, we brought up his formal name. What was it? Blackagon Boltagar?
Blackagar Boltagon.
I actually went through and decided to change my screen name to that.
Was he in the list of minority characters?
No.
He's an Inhuman.
It's not really a real minority.
So, he's Inhuman. What about Namor? Was he on there? He's an Atlantean. This list is fucked.
Well, they're being discriminated against. They got that movie of theirs pushed back.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Okay. And to wrap up this week's books, we have Exo Manowar from Valiant. Issue number 46, writer Robert Venditti, art by Robert Gill.
This was violent.
Yeah.
Again. That seems to be the key with Exo Manowar. It's a really fucking violent book. He's on his way back to his town because shit's popping off because Trill's attacking. And Ninjak comes with him, of course. No, like he told Ninjak, yeah, you keep doing your assassination bullshit, but I gotta go save the day. And Ninjak's like, hey, bro. I'll go with you. And then Ninjak, you know, jumps down and starts fucking cutting vine throats and chopping heads off again. You know, they're so funny too, because the armed Marines are there and they're trying to settle things down, and they're like, non-lethal force. We can't go to scorched earth here because, you know, the friendlies are mixed in, and also we're trying to straighten this stuff out. And then they immediately just start fucking shooting people with lasers.
Well, you know, they sort of force their hand.
Starts cutting. Huh?
They sort of force their hand there.
Well, yeah, but it was like right after they said that, they just start shooting lasers, and Ninjak starts cutting people's heads off.
Well, they were trying not to fight against them, you know, because like I said, there's friendlies amongst them, but you know, they're being surrounded, and they're like, you know what, we tried everything we could, and we got, you know, we were trying our best, but we got to look out for ourselves too. So that's when they started killing as well.
Fair enough. But our hero, he ends up trying to talk to Trill and being like, hey, listen. He gives like this really good speech about how, you know, I never attacked the Vine. He's like, all I did was free myself. And you know, your religion says that you guys are supposed to, you know, be with me. I'm the savior and stuff. And I'm trying to bring the people together. I'm just trying to take care of my people. And I want to take care of your people too. And we can have peace and all this. And then you turn the page and he's like, fuck you. And he just punches him. Trill does. So that didn't work out. And, you know, so big brawl, and then it sort of ended and said the next issue is an annual.
Yeah, you got me there. I'm not sure.
So is this series done and they're just going to conclude the story in the annual?
I'm not too sure. I read this and
I don't think it's ending, because when we picked this up, it was because they had the new jumping on point. And this isn't the worst selling Valiant book.
No.
And it's, by my reading of it, it's actually a pretty goddamn good book. I don't understand why the story would end here. Maybe it's just, you know, in 2 weeks or something, they're doing an annual.
To me, it read to me like, because this, the way this ended like a normal issue, and they're going to go to a next issue. But I saw that they were teasing for the annual. So the annual may, in fact, be out of continuity, and the next issue will be go back and do regular continuity, and they'll continue where they left off in the story. Because this didn't feel like them wrapping up a story. This felt like just...
Oh, this wasn't at all. No, this wasn't the end of the story. So what I was thinking was annuals are usually longer.
Ah, maybe this is where they end all the Trill stuff, maybe?
Yeah, like he decided, okay, this is... I'm going to wrap the story up, but I need more than 22 pages to do it. So they said, hey, you're getting an annual. He's like, all right, I'll finish the story in that.
Okay.
Maybe that's what it is. But I mean, if those Book of Death things that showed the future of the characters, which the only thing we have to believe that is the, I think it was the Ninjak one, which sort of led into Rye.
But didn't Dave already confirm that was just an alternate timeline, and now since whatever happened in Book of Death happened, it's been diverted?
No, he assumed that, but we haven't had any of that confirmed.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, well, no, what I was saying was if those books are accurate, then we know he doesn't kill Trill, because eventually Trill makes peace with his daughter, who gets the armor after him.
Okay.
So, but we'll see. Okay, yep. Fucking my cats over here. Two cats. One of them's Harper. I got him when he was a kitten. And then Julius, who's my favorite cat on earth, who lives at my mom's. They're spaced apart in the room, hissing and growling at each other. Like they're getting ready to brawl.
They're ready to throw down?
Don't fight, guys. Don't fight. It's late night. You don't need to fight.
They're going to go like Trill and Exo Manowar?
The problem is Julius is like a blonde cat. Harper's black.
Uh-oh.
So race war going on here. I want love in this house, all right? Love. One love.
At least for the next 10 minutes.
Julie laid down, so we're all right now.
All right, let's move on to our next segment, Book of the Week. Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of
best feeling all time I had all my life.
Alex, what's your pick of the week?
Lucifer.
Okay, cool enough. And I, too, am going to pick a Vertigo book, but I'm going to go with Clean Room.
All right.
All right, with that out of the way, let's go into our final segment. Next week's books.
Wherever you go, whatever you do, I will be right here waiting for you. Whatever it takes, or how my heart breaks, I will be right here waiting for you.
We pull up comic lists as well, just in case you might miss something. You tend not to, but you never know.
Uncle Grandpa Good Morning Special number one.
Please tell me you're being serious.
Professional wrestling between Pizza with Shades and Dinosaur Man. Featuring stories including one with giant realistic flying tiger.
Yeah, that's the name of the character.
Yeah, I know. I've watched the show. It's fucking hilarious.
with Pizza Steve and Mr. Gus.
Jack liked it.
Can we read that, please? Sort
of. You and me will read it.
I'm going to put Uncle Grandpa. Nope.
Dave won't read it.
He's going to be like, what? What is this? Like, why? I'm not reading this. No.
This is going to be lightning round. I'm telling you all now. I just want to read it.
Okay. Should read it with Jack and do a review.
Look through for real books. Art Ops number 7.
Art.
Dark Knight 3, The Master Race number 4.
Night 3, issue 4.
Jack 6 of 6.
Oh,
I'm probably not going to read that, by the way.
Shame on you. It's a fantastic book.
I thought the last issue was fucking boring. It's running score. You know what? No, that's the last issue. I'll read it. I'll read it. I promise. We didn't read that Suiciders book, so.
Well, I read it, but you guys didn't. Yeah. And it's a limited series, 1 of 6, so. Or 2 yeah. of 6.
Well, it's coming out again, if you want to.
Nah. I only read it because of you guys, and if you guys didn't read it, let's see. I'm already down to IDW. I don't know what I'm expecting to find.
So want
to
try the new Micronauts book?
I don't know. Let's put that in the maybe file, because I get the feeling we're going to have a light week, because I'm scrolling down, and we're already down to Image, and I'm not seeing very much. So we'll
Micronauts number one, maybe.
Put that.
Okay, Image.
Do.
Injection.
Huzzah!
Starring
our favorite butler.
Saga.
Starring our favorite seal.
Wait, let me see. Let me click the cover.
It better be. They know what buys
is. My God, that cover is beautiful.
Ooh.
Sweet Boy's on the cover.
I like that that's his name. But yeah, it's a cool. It's yeah. For those of you who don't have access to the internet right now and can't look at the cover, it's like a coastline and there's like a splashing wave hitting the rocks. It's gorgeous.
No, it's very. I wonder who did that cover. It looks painted. Okay. Well, exactly. All new Wolverine.
The cover's Fiona Staples as well.
Really? She did. So it's painted then. That's why it looks so different.
All new.
Good on you, Miss Staples.
At least she's keeping herself busy with something, at least. Not doing Archie.
She's sticking on Wumba. Okay, so all new Wolverine. Amazing Spider-Man. Avengers Standoff, Assault on Pleasant Hill, Omega number one.
Did something fall down a staircase? Are you doing spoons? Did we get the said race war?
Do we get what?
What's going on over there?
I was talking to someone. No, the last thing I said was Avengers Standoff, Salt and Pleasant Hill, Omega number one.
Mm-hmm. Got that.
Daredevil number 6.
Continue.
Okay, this is weird. Doctor Strange number 7.
What's so strange about that?
Pun because intended. The next one is Doctor Strange, Last Days of Magic, number one.
Oh, that's a big crossover between Hercules and Scarlet Witch. Can you pull up the cover of that real quick? Let's see if you can beat me to it.
It's Wolverine on the or Wolverine. It's Doctor Strange on the cover. It's about those robots he's been fighting.
Sherry Duggan's brother Voodoo takes a stand against the evil magic eater.
Well, we have to read it. It's connected to the story. So,
okay. Let's see. Doctor Strange, The Last Days. I'll put that.
So two Doctor Strange books. International Iron Man.
Ugh.
Hey, I think it's going to be good. Miss Marvel number 6.
Continue.
Old Man Logan number 5. Ooh, they're doing a new printing of Punisher Born. That must mean Punisher's getting ready to come back out.
Yeah, they did announce that it's going to be a new series. So,
yeah. It's awesome. They're getting ready for it. Spider-Woman 6. Wait.
Is this Spider-Woman or Spider-Women?
This is Spider-Woman, but it's part 4 of a crossover with Spider-Women. However, I like this book, so I'm still going to read it.
Okay, I'm right there with you then.
Squadron Supreme number 6. Let me see. Are they still in fucking Weird World? I think they went back.
I think they've since gone back, yeah.
Through the Lens starts now. As Squadron gets closer to the answer, who is the cabal of alien races on Earth and what threat do they pose to the planet? Things get personal for Dr. Spectrum as she confronts the man who helped destroy her Earth and save her life, Black Bolt.
Why is she upset with
also,
Black Ball of all people? She killed Namor. She should be content with that.
Well, he was there when they blew her planet up, but Black Bolt saved her. So, also, the Squadron's Nighthawk versus the Nighthawk of the Marvel Universe. There's a Nighthawk in the Marvel Universe?
Yeah, the old school one with the multicolor.
Yeah, but he didn't live in the Marvel Universe.
Oh, well, maybe they're maybe they don't know their continuity as well as you do.
Well, Secret Wars.
That too.
I don't remember what Earth they are from. Star Wars 18.
One of the few Star Wars books we continue to read. I noticed that Obi-Wan and Anakin came out this week, but I'm like, oh, that's right, we're not reading that book.
Eh. Ultimates number 6.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have two Valiant books. We have Faith number 4 of 4. And Imperium.
Okay, if you include that Micronauts book, we have a grand total of, wait for it, 22 books. So, part of the usual. What's that?
Fuck Micronauts.
Okay, I'll take it off.
Maybe not, I might read it.
I'll leave it on the list and you can elect whether or not to read it or not.
Okay.
Okay. That's a huge list, but that, you know what? Like I said, that makes us different than any other podcast. We review more comic books than anybody else. So suck at every other podcast.
That's kind of mean.
Well, you know, it's a competition. We're competition for ears, dude. All right, that's going to do it.
Yes.
So from all of us, Dave included, all of us at halfguard.com, thanks for checking out this week's show. And as always, see you guys next week. Adios.